After recuperating in Wilmington from the Battle of Guilford Courthouse, the main British Army of the South under Lieutenant General Lord Charles Cornwallis is leaving the state in hopes of joining with other forces in Virginia. The 160-man cavalry of Lieutenant Colonel Bannister Tarleton and some mounted infantry soldiers are riding a couple days ahead of the rest of the army, clearing the intended route of any rebel opposition. The Pitt County Militia, part-time soldiers under Colonel James Gorham, have mobilized to stop the British. This area was part of Pitt at the time. The date is Sunday, May 6, 1781. In your mind's eye, replace the modern bridge over Continea Creek with a sturdy wooden one. The creek was a highway for shipping goods to New Bern via flatboat, especially naval supplies like pine tar and turpentine. Starting in 1743, Samuel Peacock was granted this land and the tract on the far side, a total of 833 acres. First he operated a ferry here, but then he was licensed by the North Carolina Provincial Assembly to build a toll bridge, completed by 1751. Had you crossed then, you would have paid these government-approved rates. For every man and horse, 4 pence. For every carriage, drawn by 1 or 2 horses or oxen, 1 shilling. And for every horse, mare, or ox, 4 pence each. And for every head of neat cattle, 1 penny. And for every 20 hogs or sheep, 1 shilling. In current dollars, that's about $4 per person, horse, or ox, and $12 for your carriage, or every 20 hogs. Peacock lived on this side until he sold his land and the bridge to Samuel Ruffin 3 years later. Samuel moved to a tract next to his brother John's. John owned the next bridge south, over Nahunta Creek or Swamp, so there was briefly a Peacock monopoly over this stretch of the route from Wilmington to Halifax. In 1774, 2 years before he became the first governor of the new state of North Carolina, Richard Caswell paid 10 shillings to cross here heading up to Halifax. Ruffin rebuilt the bridge the next year. The right to collect tolls under that earlier law ended in 1776 when the colony did, but Ruffin continued to charge them anyway. In fact, because the creek is fordable half the year, he dropped large trees along the creek bed on either side to force people to use the bridge. In 1778, an indignant General Assembly took the franchise away from him. The Assembly levied a fine of £5 for each offense if Ruffin ever again charged someone for crossing the bridge, as the state felt he had been more than abundantly reimbursed. It also authorized another man to build a bridge over the creek. It is unclear from later maps whether that man replaced Ruffin's with his or built another nearby first. Regardless, that man has a third bridge at this spot in 1781, but reports from the Revolutionary War still called it Peacock's Bridge. On this side of the bridge on May 6, in the road and spreading out around you, are about 400 militia. These men are dressed in everyday clothes and carrying whatever weapons they own. They no doubt chat nervously as they wait until a moving dot of green appears on the dirt wagon road, now NC-58, far to the south across the creek. They take positions as the dot grows into the approaching British Legion, heavy cavalry or dragoons wearing green jackets, followed by perhaps 50 Tories. Most sources say Tarleton is with them. A Wilson County historian who traced the British march says Tarleton himself was upstream at Cobb's Mill, later Wiggins, near modern Wilson, but sent patrols out. Probably 100 yards or more from here, past the effective range of most weapons of the day, the horsemen draw sabers and charge. The militia fire at least one volley, but soon the British are on the bridge and the Patriots lose heart. They scatter in all directions, most likely heading into the swamps or creek where the horses cannot follow. After ensuring they have dispersed, the patrol continues up the road, presumably without paying any tolls. Tarleton must have been surprised whenever he learned the news, since the day before he had written Cornwallis, "The country is alarmed, but the militia will not turn out." No one was killed, and an unknown number of men were wounded on both sides. Be sure to see our battle map further down the page. Historical tidbits. A Tuscarora village was located upstream, to the right and behind you, in what now is Stantonsburg, one of at least 12 in today's Wilson County. The region was mostly abandoned by the Tuscaroras after they lost a 4-year war with colonists in 1715. Cornwallis turned west at Nahunta Swamp, crossed Continea Creek at Cobb's Mill, and camped in modern Wilson. He explained in a letter he was aiming for Halifax, the closest crossing point of the Roanoke River to his destination of Virginia. However, he said he was drifting westward from Wilmington in case the Continental Army came back to stop him. It had gone to South Carolina after failing to catch him at Ramsey's Mill near modern Moncure. Apparently around this point he decides he is safe, because he soon turns more directly north.